Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. It is 9 o'clock on the Eastern time zone. Hello, Dr. Art.
Hi, Dr. Chris. How are you doing?
Great. I see you're in new digs.
I am. I'm in the office and I wore my special t-shirt tonight. I'll get up close so you can see what it says.
I need my glasses. I just came back in a time machine you invented. Where'd you get that t-shirt?
Oh, I had it made. I have a special t-shirt making factory here that
I Yeah. Dr. Art, I don't know why we're echoing, but can you get closer to your microphone?
I'm okay. Is that any better? I'm right up close.
Yeah. Well, it could be open speakers. Not sure. Maybe next time we'll wear earbuds or something. Well, at any rate, I think maybe you don't have any earbuds on you, do you?
I don't, no.
Okay. Well, we're going to hope that this show comes off well. That's all we can do. Don says turn down the speakers, and that will help.
Turn them down. Okay. Let's do that.
All right.
How's that?
I'm not sure, but he says it's better.
Better. Awesome. Okay.
Well, audience, we apologize. Welcome to the New Reality Show. This is... this is a work in progress. I'm Dr. Christina Winzi, and you're also talking to Dr. Art Emmerich.
Yes.
And we are pretty excited about doing this show, and we're pretty new, and so we're professional at what we do, but we're new at doing radio. So, but the reason we created this show is because we wanted to be able to help a lot of people, and we wanted to create a show where people could call in and get help from us right on the air. So, maybe Dr. Art, tell people a little bit about you, for those who are new to the show.
Okay, I've been studying hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, which is, NLP is a topic for tonight, since 1980, and I've been in private practice ever since I retired, moved to Sarasota, and just have a number of fabulous clients that have experienced all kind of success with what we do. I'm sure Dr. Chris has the same experience, and we wanted to share some of that with you all and see if that kind of touched a nerve that something that you've been struggling with or working on, and that somebody else's experience would help you with your situation.
Absolutely, yes. And I guess between us, we have close to 100 years, oh my God, of professional experience. Because I started studying health and well-being in 1983. And that's when I went to massage school. Then I went to chiropractic school. I got my certified addictionologist in 2010. But in 2003, I decided to become a coach. And I had really specialized in helping people to change their beliefs, helping people to manage emotions. And I too studied NLP, not quite as extensively as you, Dr. Art, but but love NLP and use it quite a bit in my coaching practice. Mm-hmm. So tonight we're going to be talking about NLP, and we're going to be talking about how you can transform your thinking, your communication with yourself, your communication with others, how you can use NLP to have a much better experience of life, really. Yeah. And just another little mention here, Don says there's still a bit of an echo, so turn down your speakers even more.
Even more, okay.
Or move them away from the microphone if possible. And we have Jerry from Sarasota on line two, who's already calling in to ask a question. So, Jerry, we'll get to you in a minute. Please stay tuned. I think Dr. Art always does a tip of the week, and then we'll be happy to take your call.
All right. Well, let's get on with the tip then. And strangely enough, it does come from the field of neuro-linguistic programming. So I know that all of you out there have set goals for yourself. And one of the things you may not have done is tested that goal. And NLP has a specific set of tests called the ecology check. So you take your goal, whatever it might be, and say three things that you ask. Is this really good for me? Second question, is it good for everybody that I love and care about? And the third question is it good for the planet? And so a lot of times you'll find out that you might need to modify your goal a little bit in order to have it have a positive answer to those. And just a quick example, I had a golfer that came in and he said his goal was to lower his handicap by 6 points, 6 strokes. And so using this same application, I said, well, that's an interesting goal. Who do you play golf with? And he said, oh, three guys, and we play golf every week for the last 15 years, and we just have a ball. And I said, oh, great. Well, who wins? And he said, oh, well, we never know. First one, then the other, you know, it's unpredictable. And I said, okay, well, how do you think they will feel when they never win because you've lowered your handicap? And he said, oh, I hadn't thought about that. And I said, well, how do you think you'll feel if you always win and they're not a challenge anymore? He said, I hadn't thought about that either. And I said, well, why do you play golf? And he said, just because I love these guys and we have fun. We go out. And if I do what I set out to do, I will destroy all that, wouldn't I? And I said, yeah, you probably would. And he said, okay, thank you very much. And he got up and left. And I said, yay, success. You know, I never even got to do anything. But it's how you can test people's goals or your own goals to say, is this really, in all circumstances, going to be a good thing for me and for all my friends and family and the people I care about? And I did have a consulting job one time in the Philippines to help a company that had a contract with Marlboro cigarettes. And they wanted me to come help them be more efficient and effective and, you know, reduce costs and everything. And I did. And then after the fact, after I'd already committed, I thought, I don't think I want to go help people make cigarettes better. You know, that's not good for the planet. That's not good for the people I care about. So had I tested it earlier, I probably would have turned down the work. But so it can change your goals a lot of times if you'll apply these tests, honestly, and deal with the answers you get. It can really make a big difference in your life and the lives of the people you care about.
Awesome, Dr. Art. I'm wondering if you have any kind of handout that can be given to people for ecological goal checklist kind of thing.
Sure, absolutely. That I can. I have one just about the ecology check itself. It's just a simple one page just to remind ourselves what the three questions are. And maybe I can elaborate on each one of them a little bit.
Well, if somebody wants that, they can write into contact nrshow nrshow@gmail.com. That's contact nrshow@gmail.com.
And NR, cool. By the way, stands for New Reality. So in case
yes,
that didn't jump out at
you. Yes, it does. And Don has it on the screen right now for us. Thank you, Don. So Jerry is first. We have also David from Minnesota on line one, but Jerry from Sarasota on line two. You called in first, so you're on the air. I wonder if you're muted, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
There we go.
Am I open? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
well, I just wanted to say hello to Art, my fellow Sarasotan. And I've got a story to tell about an experience with Dr. Art. Three months ago or so, I came down with Bell's palsy, which is some people may know causes a paralysis on one side or the other of your face, and you kind of lose your ability to speak right and close your eyes and you look kind of weird. It was a little scary in the beginning because I thought I might have had a stroke, but after time in the hospital, I discovered that and some tests, a neurologist pronounced that I definitely did not have a stroke, but that in fact it was Bell's palsy. And he released me from the hospital saying that people could spend up to 3 months recovering from this particular affliction. Dr. Art heard about this and offered to hypnotize me to help with the process and maybe speed the process of healing. I was skeptical, as you might expect. Dr. Art did that. I spent a session with him that was about an hour long. There was no immediate change, but after 1 month, I had an appointment with my neurologist who diagnosed the problem and pronounced that I was fully recovered and that there was no need for any further evaluation on his part because, I was back to normal. And I told him about my experience with Dr. Art, and as you might expect, he rolled his eyes a bit, and he said, well, whatever, you're well. But anyway, I wanted to let Art know that it worked, and
right.
whether it was his work or not, I'm going to believe that it was. So anyway, I just wanted to make that offer to the conversation.
Awesome, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry, for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's so typical when a doctor has no other frame of reference for something that should not be healed quickly and is, when alternatives are used, they do roll their eyes and they don't want to believe it for some reason. So
let me just say a quick word about what we did. Jerry had a really clear idea about when this started. And so I asked him just imagine going back to a couple of weeks before the Bell's palsy ever showed up. And then we did what I call a 2.0 reboot of his neurological processes to that time period, specifically around his face. And your unconscious knows exactly every day, every second of every day, how it was performing and what it was doing, what it was not doing. And so I just asked him to go back and reboot to a time period before he got it. And literally, that's all it took. And Jerry, what he did, I have no idea. But it obviously, it transformed the whole neurological process to one that was pre-Bell's palsy. So it's not rocket science, what we're doing, but it is unusual science. So,
what really is that your cells are listening to everything. Your body can shift when you have changed the neurology. Mm-hmm. It's the way the body can work. I mean, just if people have not heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza, he has had people have incredible healings from doing meditations, visualizations. He himself healed himself when he should not be walking, should not be a healthy, strapping man, and he is, after a major, major, major accident that left him face down for 6 months, and he had nothing else to do but visualize and hypnotize himself. So it's powerful. Anyway, Jerry, thank you for calling in. We're going to move on to David from Minnesota on line one. David, do you have a question for us?
No, but I'll put one together because I couldn't get in on the link, so I called the phone number that was on my screen, and here I am. So I don't know. I'll have to have a question.
Well, obviously you called in for a reason, or was it not this show that you were calling into?
No, I was calling into the show. I've been hearing about it, so I wanted to join the show tonight, but the link didn't work, so there was a phone number on the screen, and so I called in, and now I'm live. So my question is, to follow up on Jerry's, what's the difference between the neurological you're describing with the hypnosis and the description you just gave of the doctor using his powers to heal himself and the spiritual side that the faith healers used to, Oral Roberts used to say, put your hands on the TV and you'll be healed. So is that the same kind of neurological process there, or where's the spiritual in this?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to separate sometimes between mental, emotional, and spiritual, because they all three operate very powerfully on belief systems. And so if you have a belief that if I put my hands on this TV set, I'm going to heal, it is possible that power of that belief itself is what reorganizes your neurological systems and has them perform at peak efficiency. And people say, a lot of times doctors will say, well, okay, what did you do? And I said, I told a story, you know, and that's what hypnotists and NLP people do. We tell stories. And he said, well, then what did they do? And I said, I have no idea. You're the doctor. You tell me what. All I know is they were sick and now they're not. And so I just feel like, we are the most complex biochemical factory in the universe. And if we can ever get our conscious mind and our unconscious mind working together, it's little that they cannot accomplish. We haven't learned how to fly yet, but other than that, I think we can really do a lot of wonderful things for ourselves and for other people just by learning the processes to get in touch with the power that is resident in your conscious, unconscious working together.
Well, I also want to add that what's been happening lately is a coalescing of spirituality and science. When you think about the law of attraction, when you think about as Greg Braden talks about the divine matrix, you know, what we've proven is that there is this divine matrix that connects us all. It's like a web, but we can't see it. And it's energy. And so you can call it God, and I have no doubt that there is a creator. However, some people don't have that belief, but like Dr. Art said, if you have the belief in the fact that touching the TV is going to heal you, it will heal you. If you have the belief that there's this divine matrix that you can call on and that you can utilize that energy to heal yourself, then you can. And so, you know, we are holistic beings. We are not just body, just mind, just spirit. We are all of that, and emotions and how we live our lives. It's all connected. So great question, David.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks.
I think it does
on the spur of the moment,
all the different
you did a good
religions way. Of the world, because all the different of the religions of the world seem to have that as their basis for their spirituality and the healing process. That, you know, the Native American Indians, you know, would go to, you know, they're with their spiritual leader or something for their healing, or what tribes did different things with they call the witch doctor or whatever. But that spiritual sense of healing and physical well-being has seemed to span, you know, all cultures.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. Really,
and thanks for tuning
it.
In. Okay. Awesome. So
let's get into the NLP is just exactly what is it, you know, and that has been the subject of many discussions and arguments. And I have a couple of definitions just to show you how difficult it is. The co-founder of NLP, Richard Bandler, said, "It's an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques." Well, that's about as foggy as anything you can ever say. It's difficult. Another, Tad James, the person that I studied with the most, the study of subjective experience and how it affects our behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's just a very difficult thing, but we can break it down a little bit more bite-sized pieces as we go along that I think may explain a little bit better than the founder was able to do this definition.
Yeah, I think it's a broad subject, actually, but it's more about... it's more about, as I understand it, how we communicate with ourselves and how we can improve that communication so that we get better results from ourselves. Yeah. And how we communicate with others so that we have better relationships and better communication with others is how we progress in business, in relation, you know, love relationships. All of it's important. And, you know, I like to just kind of reorient people to the most well-known NLP expert, Tony Robbins. You know, most people think about Tony Robbins when they think of NLP. Mm-hmm. And all of his audios and everything that he had created for many years is all about improving your performance by improving how you communicate with yourself. Mm-hmm. And he tells a story on one of his audios that I bought years ago when he was training he was hired by the United States Army, I believe it was, to improve the marksmen, their shooting ability. And so what he did was he used NLP to learn from the best marksmen. How do they breathe? How do they stand? How are they looking down the barrel? What are they thinking? How are they? I mean, every aspect of how they're communicating with their own body and their own selves about how to perform. And he literally recreated their results in himself and was able to then help the rest of the, I don't know what regiment or whatever, but he was able to improve the marksmanship of other soldiers.
Yeah. And that's based on an idea called behavior modeling. And it says if anybody can do something, everybody could do it if they will use the same techniques of modeling that behavior, that there's nothing magic about it. They're doing this, and then they're doing that, and then they're thinking this, and then they're thinking that, and then, you know, and so if you could ever unpack that whole series of expertise that people have, then you could do the same thing they do. And so Tony's a little bit too rah-rah showman to suit my taste. I don't think I'd go to him for anything, but he's very effective, and he knows his stuff, and he can produce results to the extent that he can have you walking on hot coals and stuff. That's one of his, firewalking is one of his trademarks, you know, and that's a little bit too woo-woo for me, but it works for a lot of people.
Well, my mother did the fire walk, believe it or not. Yeah, oh, she was alive. But it's not something I would try at all. Yeah. I just want to take a station break and say you're listening to the New Reality Show with Drs. Christina Winsey and Dr. Art Emmerich. And we are all about helping people on the air. People who call in, our phone number is in the United States, 888-627-6008. You can call in and get laser coaching from us. You can call in like the first two callers we had and have a conversation about the topic we're talking about or something that you need some help with. We also, if you're outside the U.S., you can dial 1-323-744-4831. So that's if you're outside the United States, you can dial direct. And I just want to thank our subscribers, our loyal subscribers are still with us. And if you would like to subscribe to our show, you know, the show is free, but we always appreciate anybody helping us keep the lights on. So you can go to the show page and there's a way for you to become a subscriber at whatever level you might decide to do. So this is a labor of love for us, and we're just happy to do it. And we appreciate any subscriptions that come through. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to you, Dr. Art, to talk a little bit more about NLP, and we'll see what else happens. Maybe we'll have other people calling in.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we all do, and this is we talk to ourselves. And those of you who are out there probably saying, no, I don't talk to myself, you know, but we do that. That's just part of who we are. Now, the research has suggested about 85% of it is negative. We are talking really bad to ourselves. Not a conversation you'd ever have with your best friend, because we're just, oh, you're so dumb, you're stupid, you did, you know, you couldn't, you're not, you're ugly, you're dumb. And so that just goes directly into our unconscious, because the unconscious doesn't block what we say. It considers us to be the expert on ourselves, you know, the conscious part anyway. So if you're troubled or really attacking yourself and you don't know what to do about it, there are a couple of NLP techniques that are really powerful, very easy. One of them is to say, whose voice do you hear when you talk to yourself? Is it your own? Or a significant other, a parent, a teacher, a minister, or whoever it might be, some expert, that you accept whatever they tell you. And if they've said something negative, then that just, you replay that over and over. So one of the things you can do about that is to change the voice. You can change it to Elmer Fudd, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, whatever you want to do. And that Tweety Bird, that works really well. The point of it is to get something that makes you laugh. Laughter is a negative emotion destroyer. So as soon as you laugh at something, it's not negatively impacting you anymore. Now, if you have trouble putting a different voice on it, here's something a little bit easier and something you can do. You can speed it up. Oh, you know, and to the point, it's just unintelligible. And that's what Christina did just then. Dr. Chris started laughing at that. The opposite works just as well.
slow it way down so it doesn't sound,
you know, and you can do that to it. So there, this is an NLP technique that just says, if you change the submodality, we use fancy words. Modality is one of our five senses. We call it a modality, but it's one of the five senses. That one's auditory. That's something you can hear. And every modality has submodalities, like speech or auditory can be fast, can be slow, can be funny, can be serious, can be all different kind of submodalities you can have in the tone of it. And so if you start mucking around with them, you can really change the impact that it has on your whole system. I love to use that because everybody talks to themselves. And so it's a remedy that everybody can use. And it's really fun, too.
Well, absolutely. I have many times with clients, I have had them say their negative phrase. And while they're talking, I'll start singing Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Okay.
And it just breaks them right up. And they can go every time now that they say the negative phrase inside their head, they just start thinking Yankee Doodle Dandy. And they can't take it seriously.
That's an overlay. And that's really powerful stuff. And again, I think you all can see this is not rocket science. It is just understanding, how does our system work? It works with, NLP works with raw sensory data. It doesn't work with complex abstractions that our conscious mind can handle really well. So to the conscious mind, I could say, you know, I could not hardly fail to disagree with you less. The unconscious says, what do you mean? And so It really works more on just things that you can see, you can feel, you can hear, you can taste, and you can smell. If you get away from those, you're not in sensory raw sensory data anymore, and now your unconscious has more difficulty with it because it doesn't. If you say I want to be a success, your unconscious has no idea what that means. Success is a very abstract concept. Just illustrated by the fact that what it means to you and what it means to me could be totally different things. So if you want to talk to your unconscious about being successful, what does it look like? When you're successful, what does that look like? Make a video of it or a series of snapshots if you want to. What sounds do you hear when you're being successful? Do you hear people, yay, you know, you're successful or whatever? What are you going to see? Are you going to see a picture of your bank account? Are you going to, you know, what does it feel like when you're successful? And when you put the sounds and the pictures and the feelings together, we call that a dominant thought. And now your unconscious knows, okay, I know exactly what you want. I know what it looks like. I know what it sounds like. I know what it feels like. And so I'm not going to make a mistake if I go out and get this for you. There's one other thing you need in addition to that. And that is repetition. Repetition says to your unconscious, I'm serious about this. I really mean it. I want this. And so I'm going to repeat that. What we call that when we're learning a new skill, we call that practice.
Mm-hmm.
When we just use a different word, it's called repetition. The laboratory experiments have determined that it takes about 65 days to install a complex new behavior pattern into your neurology. So for my clients, I make a CD for them to listen to for a couple of months every night when they're going to sleep. And I'm telling them over and over and over again, whatever they've told me it looks like and sounds like it. And I'm just put that on the CD. And they hear that over and over and over. And at some point, it may not be 65 days, it may be 6 days or 16 or 26 or whatever. When the unconscious thinks, I can trust you, you're really serious about this, I'm going to go take over and do it for you, which means it is now a habit and you don't have to think about it anymore. It will do it for you. And now you've got the best of your conscious and your unconscious mind working together to get something for you.
I love that.
And it's really amazing.
It's truly amazing. Powerful. And it's also... the whole piece of the level of emotion and excitement that you feel it with can amplify everything you're visualizing. So one of the hardest things for people I find when I'm coaching people is getting them from the intellectual into the heart, into the feeling, and really expanding their ability to be excited, because they're usually saying, yeah, but I don't have it now. Yeah, but it's just a concept. And so the part of the reason for the 65 days is to begin to really, truly internalize that you have it now.
Yeah, it's not just saying I'm going to feel ecstatic about this. It's actually feeling ecstatic, you know, because when I ask people, how does it feel when you're successful? And they say, oh, that'd be nice. You know, I say, that ain't near strong enough. Nice is way too low level a feeling. Ramp it up, you know, just get it up as high as you possibly can, because that will attract the attention of your unconscious. It knows, whoa, I love to feel that way, so I'm going to go get this thing, whatever it is. And it's just a matter of learning the vocabulary of positive feelings and giving yourself lots of options there.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear, Dr. Art, what you do with people when they're going for a goal, and maybe you've done the tip of the week that you talked about, the ecological check-in, and you're helping them create a hypnosis CD, but they have all of the, like, when they say they're positive and when they think they're positive, all the negative comes up for them. And it sort of becomes a wall that they can't get through, because there's a part of them that just is wanting to sabotage them. And I don't call it sabotage. What I call it is something that I actually heard another colleague use, which is identity factor. The one thing that is very challenging for people is that they have a certain way that they know themselves to be. They have a way that they know life is. They have a way that they know their relationships are and how they their modus operandi in the world. And so when they're going to change, that is a shift in what they know as their identity. And so there's a part of them that becomes protective, because it's a part, you know, we do the NLP parts. So they have a part that doesn't agree with making the change. And the part is saying, but what am I going to do if you change? Because my job is to keep you right here.
You're right here, Well, we call that the critical factor or critical function. It's a part of our conscious mind, not the unconscious. Unconscious is just a recording. It's like a big hard disk. It just records everything. Every one of the five senses from the time you were probably in the womb until now, it's got it all recorded, remembers every bit of it. And it depends on your conscious mind to add some filters and some blockages of things that don't make any sense or that aren't true, that they protect us. I call it our bullshit detector, but you know, it's something that keeps us from doing stupid stuff. We hear, oh, here's a Cadillac for sale for $29.95, you know, and that's $29.95, and you know, send the money in to me and I'll make sure we deliver the cat. Well, people don't do that because their critical function takes over and says that's not true. So in hypnosis, what we do is we give the individual a task to do that requires full focus and concentration. And the whole purpose of it is to get the critical factor out of the way so that we can talk directly to the unconscious. It doesn't block anything. So this protector of the status quo is there, and we just have to learn how to deal with it. How do we how do we get that moved to the side so that we can have access directly? Now, another thing that Benson at Harvard wrote some very interesting books about some things that the way the conscious mind and unconscious mind work. And one of the things he discovered was your conscious mind can only process one thing at a time. So he uses a process called jamming. And what he says, and the reason for these people who do meditation and they give you a mantra, some word to say, the whole purpose of that word is jamming. That's all it does. You just say ocean, 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 ocean. As long as you're doing that, not a single thing can get into your conscious mind because there's only one little bucket. You filled it up with ocean or peace or love or whatever. You can make some nonsensical word or sound works just as fine. And the whole purpose of that is to block that consciousness, which is trying to guard the status quo. It wants, like you said, it wants things to just stay the way they are. So anytime you're getting ready to make a change, that is a direct threat. Now, one of the things we explain when we're working with NLP and hypnosis is this is requiring a magnificent use of your fantastic imagination. We're going to ask you to imagine that it is already true. Yes, we know logically it's not. The conscious mind is over here saying, no, it's not, you know. But we can say, yeah, let's just pretend like it was true. Then let's proceed on that basis as what if, you know, and let's just pretend. That's what a lot of this work is. It requires being able to pretend. And you're using your imagination in a very creative, productive way. It's not just pretending crazy stuff. It has a very focused intent behind it. And there are specific things that we want you to imagine so that you can get past this blockage that your conscious mind is there to protect us, and thank goodness it is. You know, it keeps us from doing a lot of stupid stuff. But when we're trying to change ourselves, that's when it gets away. It's really
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I just want to take a quick station break and just say you're listening to the New Reality Show with Drs. Christina Winsey and Dr. Art Emmerich. And we are all about helping you to create a new reality by giving you solutions for how to make transformation, how to stop being limited by your negative thoughts. We do laser coaching, we do hypnosis, and we offer this right on the air. And so if you'd like to call in, we're ready for your calls. And if you're in the United States, you can call 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., dial direct 1-323-744-4831. So, you know, Dr. Art, you were talking about the art of pretending. And what is so sad to me is that children do this absolutely without even thinking. They are masters at what we adults have to relearn how to do. Mm-hmm. And they don't question. When they're pretending, they are right there in the moment. They are a magical princess. They are a prince. They are a fireman. They are whatever it is that they're pretending to be.
And that's why I love working with kids, because you can get them in and say to these little guys, they'll say, what's your favorite superhero? And they'll say, Morphin Power Rangers or something. I say, okay, pretend like you're one of them, you know, boom, and they're in it. I mean, you know, that is the induction right there. That's all you have to do. It's very creative and very serious, productive play is really what it amounts to. Yeah,
and one of the things that has made me kind of sad as I've watched my own kids grow up is that shift from when they have that magical ability to going into the school system and becoming very logical, very intellectual. And while that's necessary for our society, there's a certain amount of spontaneity and creativity that gets lost in children as they are put through the reading, writing, arithmetic. And that's why, for instance, we chose Montessori as a school to go to, because it was much more allowing of that creative, following their impetus of what they wanted to learn, and honoring that ability in children is just so important. And I think it's something that adults can relearn, but we develop these insecurities, can't do that, that's being childish or whatever it is. And we have to kind of get past that in order, and that's what you're talking about with the hypnosis process, is giving that very intellectual part of them something to do so that it gets out of the way and they can just play.
So you can play, yeah. There was a very distressing study that was done where they had 5-year-olds and they gave each one of them a paper clip. And they said, this is going to be timed in 2 minutes. How many things can you make out of this paper clip? And the kids, you know, they'd have 50 things on the list, you know. They get to the 5th grade, now they only got 20 things. They get to the 8th grade, they've got 10. By the time they're in high school, they got 2 or 3. And we have had it educated out of them. You know, it is just deal with the real world, you know, no fun, no games, anything. You got to think of what could this paperclip be. And the kids are not constrained by that at all. Got to make an airplane, I can make a boat, I can make a house, I can, you know, whatever. And they're just gone. And it doesn't have to make any sense to them. It's just everything I can think of, I could make out of paper clips if I had enough of them, you know. And so it's a sad thing that we are educating ourselves away from play and away from creativity.
Yeah, it's true. I think some of the most successful workshops that I've heard of are laughter yoga. Play shops where, and this is why in corporate America, when they do, I guess they call them warm-up exercises, so that they can get people laughing, get people engaged. They do things that kind of gets their guard down and gets them into that mode of a little bit more fun, a little less of the adult limitations,
they call them icebreakers sometimes.
And it makes a big difference. And one of the things that I love is, and I'm wondering if this started with NLP, is that, and I forget the guy who created mind maps, but he talks about, when I read his book, he talked about how he went into some of these corporations and set up what were called brain rooms. And in the brain rooms were colored pencils, markers, string, all kinds of things that they could just be creative. And they would leave the desk and go to the brain room so that they could regenerate their creativity and come back and solve problems.
That might be Michael Gelb. I don't know if that's the one you had in mind, but sounds like his career path too was going around teaching mind mapping to companies, and having to get them to let go of all these. I have to have a diagram that's symmetrical and has to have the same number of lines on one side that has the other. Forget all those rules, you know. Just do it however you want to do it, you know. And he had the hardest time getting people to, quote, break the rules, you know, whatever rules they set up for themselves that nobody ever wrote them, but they had them printed on their brain.
Well, I love the story of, is it Thomas Edison who would hold a ball and fall asleep when he couldn't solve a problem? Was it Edison? I think it was. And he'd hold a ball and he'd sit in the chair when he couldn't solve a problem. And as he'd fall asleep, the ball would fall. And when he woke up, he had the answer to his problem.
Oh, interesting. I'd heard that story. That's a good one.
Yeah. I think it was Edison. I advocate self-care tremendously in coaching because when we take those breaks throughout the day to regenerate ourselves, to get out of the focus of the work and go and just be, it's not only a stress management technique, but it's a way of being more effective. And in fact, one of the things that is known these days is adults, they concentrate for 20 minutes and then need a break in order to come back and be more receptive to the information they're learning.
Yeah.
I remember a phrase, the mind can only absorb what the butt can stand.
Frequent breaks. Yeah, that's the way.
Absolutely.
There's another quick process that I'd like to give everybody before we still have a few more minutes. It's called Cartesian logic, which sounds kind of woo-woo level thing. But we used to have, we'd get an idea and we'd do, well, let's do a plus and minus on it. Advantages, disadvantages, whatever. And a lot of times they found out that was not complex or comprehensive enough to really deal with all the aspects. And so Cartesian logic is based on the idea that there are four tests that you can give. And it involves the theorem, the converse, the inverse, and the mirror image reverse. So just to make that more clear, to say you have a goal. The first question is the theorem, what will happen if you accomplish this goal? So that's kind of the pluses of it, you know. And then you say, what will not happen if you accomplish this goal? And both of them have, fundamentally, you're accomplishing the goal. Some things will happen, some things won't. The other side of it that often doesn't get asked is, what will happen if you don't achieve this goal? It's a little bit different question. And the last one is a mind boggler. What will not happen if you do not accomplish this goal? That's a double negative.
Yeah.
And if you go through all four of those, and again, I have a handout on this if people are interested in it. So what will happen if you get it? What won't happen if you get it? What will not happen if you get it? And what will not happen if you don't get it? So you're covering every possible outcome, weighing pros and cons or pluses and minuses of both getting it and of not getting it.
Right.
There are more advantages to not accomplishing the goal than are accomplishing. And this will uncover that. I mean, it'll give you a chance to see it. It'll just pop right out. So that's another handy little thing.
That is handy. I actually relate to that. When I'm working with a client, I talk about what are the payoffs you're going to get for making this change, and what is it going to cost you? What are your payouts to make this change?
Yeah.
And knowing that in NLP, people move away from pain and towards pleasure. If they perceive that the payouts, the cost is going to be more painful than the payoffs, they're not going to stick to the goal.
Because we are hardwired to make smart choices. So by that definition, I have defined away procrastination. I don't even believe there is such a thing. I think that's what's happening in the quick unconscious background. We're saying, what's the cost? What's the benefit? And if the cost outweighs the benefits, we're not going to do it. So I want to go to the gym 5 days a week. And boy, I'm going to get a lot of benefit out of that, you know. Well, then all of a sudden you start putting the cost in. I got to stop what I'm doing. I got to get dressed. I got to get in the car. I got to go down. I have to take a shower and I'm through. And I have to do. And so my 1 hour workout winds up taking 2 hours or more. And I don't have that kind of time. And so all of a sudden the cost is higher than the benefit, and so we don't do it. And it's not because we're lazy or because we're procrastinating. We have made an unconscious decision that that would be stupid. So what I have people do if they're procrastinating, I say, get a paper, write a column down the middle, pros and cons, you know, benefits and costs. And if you ever get the benefits above the cost, as long as the costs are up here and the benefits, you're not going to do it. And it, and it's good that you don't. But if you ever reverse that and get the benefits up here and the costs here, you're going to start doing it right away because, again, it would be stupid not to. So I really tried to define away procrastination. I don't think we're built to procrastinate. I think there's something much deeper going on in our
lives. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think also, the positive, the payoff, if it's, then we have the time frame. So the payoff to losing weight comes after a period of time. And so the cost is a daily thing that you do to get to the goal. So sometimes it's because the cost feels too painful to have to wait for the payoff.
Right. Yeah.
So we have to kind of find a way for the cost, even though it's a lesser than the actual payoff. The payoff is what they really want. We have to find a way that the cost is doable long enough to get the payoff.
To get to the payoff, yeah. There are three criteria that you can use a lot of times. If you really want to make sure you're going to do something, it's called PIC, P-I-C. Is it personal? If it's personal, we're much more liable than if it's that's going to happen to somebody else, not me. You know, is it immediate? That's the I. Or is it way, like you were saying there? Is it way down the line? I'm not going to get this payoff right away. I want to get it. And the third one, is it certain? That's the C, the P-I-C. If it's uncertain, I may get this payoff and I may not, then not as likely that we do it. So if you're really struggling to want to do something, make it personal, immediate, and certain, and you're much more likely to want to do it that way.
I love that. Yeah. Well, we are out of time, Dr. Art.
Oh, no. Not so quick.
Well, I just want to thank our subscribers again. I want to say if you enjoyed this show, we would love for you to be a subscriber and help us keep the lights on. We are going to be back next week with a guest, and we will be announcing that on Facebook and LinkedIn. And let's see. Don't forget to write into contactnrshow@gmail.com if you would like a copy of the things Dr. Art spoke of. First of all, his tip of the week. And second of all, that was the four Cartesian logic.
Mm-hmm.
Cartesian logic. There are lots of free PDFs and downloads that we're happy to give you. So feel free to just write in and tell us how you enjoyed the show. We'd love to hear if it helped you in some way. And hopefully you'll think of calling in next time with a question to be laser coached or otherwise. We love talking to you and helping people right on the air.
Thanks so again for our two call-ins for tonight. That was great. Yeah.
Yes, thank you to David and Jerry for calling in. And we will see you next week. And the archives of the show are on the show page. So if you want to watch or listen to any of our previous shows, they're all on the show page. So with that, Dr. Art, thank you so much. And
thank you, Dr. Chris. Really enjoyed it. That's good.
Awesome show. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.